TV.
Hey, Lisa. Good morning. It's awful good to see you folks here today. All right. I just got back in town. Been out to the old west, as they say. I've got back here, back in my home. And I really appreciate you guys. Looks like there's been a lot of meeting and greeting already going on. And I'm glad to hear all this talking and everybody saying, "Hey." Let's remember the ones this morning that are. That are lost. We had our Sunday school this morning was about the Paul trying to relate to the Romans that they about who Jesus actually was and why he came and taking care of all our sins. So let's spread that word that Jesus Christ came for all our sins, past, present, and future. And if we have faith in him, then all that's going to be true. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the day. We thank you for this time that we could be together. Lord, I thank you for the blessings you've put in my life. I've had a long married life and a wife that's been there right there with me, and I'm trying my best to be everything for her that she would be. And we all have our own families that are having problems right now. We got ones that just need to be touched and they need your helping hand in times when they feel like they're alone. So be with us this day and help us, Lord, to be prepared for the message that Pastor Don's going to bring us and all the information and everything that Chad's going to lay on our hearts and all these good little kids down here out front. Lord, we love them and we praise them, and we're so glad they're all here. These things I pray in your name. Amen.
NC Baptist, everything we do is for churches. We aren't just fueled by churches, but we're fueled for churches. It isn't about our ministries and programs and budgets. It's about what churches are doing for the kingdom. So what does it really mean to be on mission together? We remind churches of their purpose, because a church not on mission is simply a country club with a steeple on top. We must equip churches for their purpose. And so that means start with children. We're showing them that living the Christian life isn't a ticket to heaven, but it's a difference-making call to love and serve others. Or how about mobilizing students towards missions and church planning and local outreach, where they get a real hands-on experience to see life as it's meant to be lived? Or sending college graduates and young professionals to pursue them for the glory of God and do them strategic for the mission of God, to make that decision with the kingdom of God as their first and primary factor. Or show churches that worship isn't just singing on a Sunday morning, but praise that touches every part of the heart, the mind, the body, and the soul. And also, how about developing discipleship pipelines where Revelation 5 is their starting point, that the nations may praise him, and showing new converts that the very first step is to follow Christ in living your life in the light so that the nations can be glad and sing with joy. Or maybe cast vision to dead or dying churches that they can be fostering churches where they take their existing doctrine and it's expressed for a new day. Being on mission together means showing churches how they can plant churches and send missionaries. Being on mission together is combining our efforts as brothers and sisters united in Christ with the great hope to see the gospel go to all nations. Will the nation sing of Jesus more tomorrow because of NC Baptist Ministry today?
Good morning. I think you can do better than that. I go to ball games all the time, and I go to races and things, and you all are there, most of you are there, and y'all sure make a lot more noise there, so good morning.
Good morning.
That sounds a lot better. You see my new helpers up here this morning, they are going to be collecting money for North Carolina Baptist Mission. And so as you see by the video, it's not just about one thing. North Carolina Baptist Missions are about a lot of things, starting churches, spreading the gospel, ministry through flight, to people take people to the hospitals where need to go, or emergencies and disaster relief. We all know about disaster relief because hurricanes, tornadoes, flooding, and we are all very aware of what that can do to us. So if you would, please stand to your feet. And this is our last Sunday for the missions offering. So if you would, at this time, come forward and bring your mission offering today. Thank you so much.
Thank you. What I want to do before I start announcements is I want to encourage you to go meet your neighbor. Talk to somebody. Tell them you're glad to see them. Make it a point to reach out to somebody you hadn't had an opportunity to talk to this morning. Okay. I put a slide up there. I don't know if you've seen it or not. I saw. She was like, "That's my papa."
Pappy.
That's my pappy.
Happy pappy.
Happy pappy. He is a happy pappy. All right. Welcome, everyone. Welcome to Crestview Baptist Church this morning. It's a great time to see everybody. I'm glad to have everyone here in the house of the Lord today. Thank you for choosing to come worship with us. If you are a guest or a visitor with us for the first time, we'd like to especially welcome you. And we'd like to let you know, we'd like to get to know a little bit more about you. There are some cards in the pews in front of you that you can fill out and drop in the offering place just so we can get to know about you a little bit. A couple of important announcements for the week. The bulletin's full of announcements and calendars, but I want to remind you that this evening at 5:30, is that what time we're starting today? 5:30 this evening, there is a picnic at the creek. We had one last month, and we wanted to try to have one more, and the weather's going to work with us, I believe. We're going to be able to have one more, so if you could come out to that this evening, it starts at 5:30 down at the creek. Bring a well-filled picnic basket, is the way they always word it, to share with your share with the group as we just fellowship and spend some time together. A couple of changes. If you have been coming to the Bible study on Tuesday night for Revelation, that has been moved, and it will Revelation Bible study will now be our Wednesday evening Bible study. So if you want to come to that, we're just come on out to that. Come dive in as we look into what God has in store for us. And as we study the book of Revelation, come out to that if you can. Children's and youth Christmas play practice begins this week. It is this Wednesday is October the 1st. It's hard to believe it's already October, but it's here. 5:30, if I'm wrong, tell me I'm wrong. 5:30, right? 5:30 is Christmas play practice. They practiced over here in the choir room, and we'll have a meal for the kids and the people in attendance afterwards for that today. No meal today, except for down there tonight. Keep that in mind. Really, if you can be here on Wednesdays for that, Sandra works really hard. Miss Sandra works really hard putting these Christmas plays together. And it's a lot of hard work, but it is a wonderful, wonderful way to praise God when we get that Christmas play and we put it into action in December. It's always such a wonderful thing. And I tell every year we're like, oh my goodness, is everybody going to get it? Are we going to get everything? And I'm going to tell you what, the Lord comes in and he puts everything together when we do that. And I'm not saying don't come to practice because the Lord's going to put it together. That's not what I'm saying. Don't get me wrong. What I'm saying is we're going to work at it, and we're going to work at it, and we are going to put it together in December. The Lord's going to put it together, and it's an awesome time, and we're going to start preparing for that Wednesday night. I don't think there are any more announcements. If you look over here on the right side of your bulletin, there's a list of important dates coming up. Keep those in mind. And I look forward to worshiping with you this morning, and I'm going to call Pastor Don up, and he's going to open us up in prayer.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh.
You fixed him.
Would you join me as we pray? Lord, we thank you for the day that you've given us, for each day is a gift from you. Let us be able to celebrate you. Let us be able to praise your name. Let us be able to focus on what you have done, what you are doing, and what you will do. We thank you and praise you for the opportunity to meet at this place, and we pray that every aspect of the service would be for your glory and honor. We thank you for loving us as much as you did to offer your son Jesus so that we might find a place not only in this world to be able to have peace of mind, but to have a place for eternity. We thank you and praise you for all that you do, and may you receive our worship this day. And again, may it glorify your holy name, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Would you stand as we sing, Praise the Name of Jesus. Praise the Name of Jesus.
Praise the name of Jesus, praise the name of Jesus. He's my rock, he's my fortress, he's my deliverer, in him will I trust. Praise the name of Jesus, praise the name of Jesus, praise the name of Jesus, he's my rock. fortress. He's my deliverer. In him will I trust. Praise the name of Jesus.
Amen. Thank you. We'll continue to worship by giving of our gifts, tithes, and offerings.
Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for the time you give us to come into your house, Lord, and worship you. Lord, just thank you so much for sending Jesus Christ to die for our sins, that he would be risen again to set forth the plan of salvation, Lord. Thank you for the opportunity you give us to make a living, and thank you for the opportunity you give us to give back a portion of what you have so bountifully blessed us with, Lord. Lord, we ask you to take this offering and use it to upbuild thy kingdom. Bless the giver and the gift. For us in Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Would you stand again as we sing our hymn of praise, number 411, 'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus, 411.
"'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. I'm so glad I learned to trust him, precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that he is with me, will be with me till the end. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I prove him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more."
Amen. Thank you.
If there's any kids want to come down here, not down here yet, head on down to the front, sit in the floor, or you can sit on the front pew, whichever way you want to do it. You can dance down here if you want to. That's fine, John Carlos. Morning. All right, guys, we are going to talk about something today. We're going to have a vocabulary lesson. Who likes school? Does anybody here like school? Has anybody ever thought, I want to go to school at Sunday morning? I want to go to English class? Going to English class right now. You ready? No? Nobody's ready? All right. We're going to learn a new word. What has anybody ever heard the word covenant? Has anybody ever heard that word? Does anybody know what that word might mean? And I'm going to give you a hint. If you were in Sunday school with me this morning, you should know what it means. Well, let me check with John Carlos first, and then we'll see. It means you don't know. All right, Ty, what do you think? It's a promise. That's right. And has anybody here ever made a promise before? All right. Has anybody in here ever made a promise and broken it before? That is because we are humans and we make mistakes. But there is somebody who makes promises, who never ever breaks promises, and that is God. That is right. And so this morning in Sunday school, we talked about a promise God made to Noah, how when Noah came off of the ark after God had flooded the earth, God put a rainbow in the sky and promised that he would never flood the earth again. And today, to preview what Pastor Don's going to be talking about, he's going to be talking about a promise God made with a man named Abram, who would soon be changed his name, have his name changed to Abraham. And not Abraham Lincoln, no, wrong Abraham. But Abraham was, he loved God. He worshiped God, and he followed God's rules. And God came to him one day, and he told him that he would have lots and lots of descendants. That means, like, he's going to have kids, and his kids are going to have kids, and his kids' kids are going to have kids, and his kids' kids' kids are going to have kids. Do I need to go any further?
No.
No? All right. So that means he's going to have lots and lots of people. He's going to have grandkids and great-grandkids and great-great-great-grandkids. And his people were going to be as many as the stars in the sky. Has anybody ever looked up at the stars in the sky? Have anybody ever tried to count them?
Yeah.
It's impossible. There are more stars in the sky than we can count. And God said that his descendants would outnumber the stars in the sky. Isn't that awesome? But guess what? Abraham was an old man, and he didn't have any kids. And he said, God, how is this going to happen? And he said, and God, you know what God told him? God told him to trust him. And that's what Abraham did. And now the whole world is filled with people from Abraham's line. Isn't that awesome that God did that? And we still talk about him and his family when we read their stories in the Bible. And we see his awesome faith in God. So, a couple of things I want you to take out of this. Is if you make a promise to somebody, keep it. But remember, God always keeps his promises no matter what. So we can always, always trust in him. And if he tells us he's going to do something. And God made another promise through Jesus. When Jesus died on the cross and he rose up on the third day, he promised that we could be forgiven for our sins, that all we had to do was call on the name of Jesus. Isn't that awesome? And that is a promise that doesn't go away. And another promise is Jesus promised us when he left to go to heaven, he promised he's coming back to get us one day. And you can hold tight to that because God made the promise. And does God break promises?
No.
So let's pray, and we're going to sit down and we'll go to children's church here shortly, okay? God, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for each one of these guys and girls that are here today. Thank you for loving us the way you do. Lord, thank you for your promises that you've shown us throughout your word, Lord, and that we know that you keep your promises. That's why, Lord, we know that you're going to keep your promise that you made through Jesus, that we can be forgiven for our sins, that all we have to do is call on his name. And one day, Lord, you're coming back to get us, and you're going to take us to this wonderful, perfect place. Lord, I love you and praise you, and I thank you for everyone here today. And I just ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
with signs and wonders. You've shown your power with precious blood. You've shown us your grace. You've been our helper, our liberator, the giver of life with no end. Darkest valleys, we will look back at all you have done, and we will shout, our God is good, and He is the faithful one. Hallelujah, hallelujah, to the one from whom all blessings.
Today we'll be reading from Genesis chapter 15, beginning at verse 1, reading through verse 16. Genesis chapter 15, beginning at verse 1. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I'm your shield, your very great reward. But Abram said, O sovereign Lord, what can you give me, since I remain childless, and the one who will inherit my state is Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, You have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. When the Lord when the word of the Lord came to him, "This man will not be your heir, but a son coming from your own body will be your heir." He took him outside and said, "Look up at the heavens and count the stars, and indeed, if you can count them." Then he said to him, "So shall your offspring be." Abram believed the Lord and credit to him as righteousness. He also said to him, "I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land and to take possession of it." But Abraham said, "O sovereign Lord, how can I know that I will gain possession of it?" So the Lord said to him, "Bring me a heifer, a goat, a ram, each 3 years old, along with a dove and a young pigeon." Abram brought all of these to him, cut them in half, and arranged the halves opposite each other. The birds, however, he did not cut in half. Then the birds of prey came down to the carcasses, but Abram drove them away. And as the sun was setting, Abram fell into a deep sleep, and a thick and dreadful darkness came over him. Then the Lord said to him, "Know for certain that your descendants will be strangers in a country not of their own, and they will be enslaved and mistreated 400 years, and I will punish the nation they serve as slaves, and afterward they come out with great possessions. You, however, will go to your fathers in peace and be buried at a good old age. In the fourth generation, your descendants will come back here, for the sin of the Amorites has not yet reached its full measure." Would you join me as we pray? Lord, we pray that you teach us through the actions of Abram, and let your scriptures come alive so that we would be able to see his great faith and the courageous journey that he traveled. Lord, help us to be able to see what you're calling us today. For all this, we do pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This is a sermon series that will take us up to the time of Advent. These are prayers that shock the world. This is one of those prayers, and even though some may look at this as simply a man talking to God, I consider that to be prayer, that there's not necessarily a certain formula you have to do for it to qualify as a prayer. We look at a simple man who lived an uneventful life, was willing to listen to the voice of God. The book of Hebrews describes Abraham as the model of faith. And you read this passage, even though it doesn't sound like a prayer, it is certainly a conversation between God and Abram. Well, before we look at the passage itself, we have to have a little bit of background. Abram is having this conversation with God. Now, he's already had the covenant given to him in chapter 12, and it will be given again after this chapter. Three times he will be told that he is going to be blessed with the child, and that child will give not only nations, but nations plural. The kings would come from him. The other thing to think about with Abraham is he's 75 years old. Okay, he's 75 years old. Let that sink in a little bit. I'm not quite there yet. But at 75, probably one of the things I'm not thinking about is starting a family. Nevertheless, God says, "You will have a child from your own body." Oh, and I want you to pick up and leave. Now, when I went to seminary, there was a comedian called Grady Nutt who graduated from the same seminary, and I heard him preach a sermon on this same text. And I remember him saying, "Ur sounds like one of those places you want to be from." And so here, Abram picked up and left. This is not a small journey. If I were to map that out, it would be like me packing up all my possessions and going by foot to my mother's old house in Kentucky. Going over the mountains. It's that long a journey. Now, the longest journey I've ever had by car, I was, 20, 21 years old, something like that. I drove from Huntsville, Texas to Nashville, Tennessee in one day. That's about the longest trip. But trips often have other things that happen. Things can happen along the way. We had just been appointed as missionaries. We moved and we were living for the first month in Zurich, Switzerland, and we had to move to Prague. So, all right, we're picking up and we're headed to Prague. We're driving there and I noticed the gas gauge has gone down, and so I'm pulling over. What is benzene and what is naphtha? Well, it's a coin flip. One of them's bound to be diesel and one's bound to be gas. And I know the car takes gas. Well, I guess naphtha. I was wrong. So I put diesel in a gasoline engine. That is not good. It did run, but it ran pretty rough. But just so that you know, I'm a fair person, I've also accidentally put gasoline in a diesel engine too. So just saying. But here you have this man Abraham, 75 years old. I'm going to do miraculous things, God tells him. He would have descendants. Oh, by the way, his wife was 65 at the time. Abram and his wife take this long journey, arrive to Canaan. Seems like they can't get settled anywhere. They keep moving around different parts of Canaan. And then finally, they move to the area called the Negev. And there's a drought going on, a famine going on. And so they have to go to Egypt. And so they settle and go to Egypt for a while. And Abram, at this time, does have a bad habit. Twice he tells the people he's moved there that his wife is a sister. And that becomes one of his little pet peeves, I guess. So here Abram goes to Egypt, survives that. Finally, the Pharaoh who had taken was going to take Abram's wife Sarah as his own, and then told him to leave town. So they leave town, and by that time the famine was now over. And then on the journey back, he meets some fellow by the name of Melchizedek. Melchizedek just kind of pops up in the Bible and then just disappears just as quickly. All we know is it calls him a king in one verse. Another verse, it calls him a priest. Priest of Salem. Salem. That is a derivative of shalom or peace. And then to reach out is Yeru. So we're talking Jerusalem. So here's this prince, or this priest rather, and Abram gives him a tithe, and he offers Abram a blessing. It's interesting, the symbolism, because what does he bring out for Abram before blessing him? Wine and bread. Interesting precursor to the one who would be the high priest according to the book of Hebrews in the person of Jesus. Little would he know that now this tithe that he pays to Melchizedek, a few chapters later he's going to return to the same spot, this time bringing his son Isaac with him and prepare to offer him as a sacrifice. You can see why it'd be easy for Abram to be able to doubt God. The second time that he confirms this indeed is a blessing from God through this contract, through this covenant. And so this conversation begins between Abram and God. And so as we look at this, we see that he is instructed to provide these animals as a sacrifice and that it darkened. Abram had a vision. In this vision, God spoke to him and told him not to be afraid. Again, similar words we would hear Jesus speak with his own disciples as he is asleep on the boat and they're all afraid they're going to get sunk. He tells them not to be afraid. God pledged that he would be Abram's shield, his protector, that Abram would be greatly rewarded for his faithfulness. as he has followed God's request to leave his homeland and go to this place that was then called Canaan. I think he was somewhat confused by the request of God. Did God forget how old he was and he didn't have a kid? Abram reminded him, I don't have a son. I don't have an heir. How can I have ancestors that fill up the sky when I don't even have the first one yet? But God reminded him that that would be the case. Eliezer of Damascus would not be your heir. Abram is told he would not deliver, or Abram said to God that he could not deliver on God's promise. So he offered a substitute. And so that ends up being Ishmael through a maidservant. But that's not what God had in mind. No, you're going to have a son, but you're going to have a son with Sarah, or Sarai, as she was known then. So God said no substitutes. Abram would have a son. Sarah would be the mother. And they would be father of many nations. In spite of the doubts, could not imagine how this could take place. This seems impossible. And what's more so, we look at his age of 75. He has Ishmael, or Hagar has Ishmael, when he's 86. Isaac isn't born until he is 100 years old. And he still lives to 175. Sarah to 125. But it was by faith that he somehow trusted God would do this. Remember, he was 75 when he was called out, and it took 25 years before he saw this take place. How many of us would say to God after a week, well, I don't see anything happening. After a year, I think you forgot about me. After 5 years, I know you forgot about me. 10 years, did we ever talk at all? 25 years passes, and finally he has that son that he was promised. Abram then was asked to sacrifice that which he had waited 25 years for, to be willing to offer his own son. And it sounds so ridiculous now because that is not a thing. But back then, human sacrifice was not uncommon. It was practiced, and there's even references in the Bible to it. So he thought, well, if this is what God wants me to do, he takes his son to offer as a sacrifice, places him on the altar, is prepared to take a knife and to be able to take his own son's life, and God stops his hand and prepares a ram that he offers in his place. He did everything possible to be able to obey God. In this vision that he had, he also learned not only will they be numerous, they're going to serve as slaves for 400 years. 400 years they're going to serve as slaves to a people you do not know, or they do not know. But then they will be delivered, and they will be brought from that land, and they will have many possessions, which actually was fulfilled once Pharaoh allowed them to leave. So we learn that Abraham still followed God even when it was not easy, even though it was impossible. And he also was promised he would die in peace, which he did. Abraham was 75 years old when he was called by God. It's amazing that sometimes the call of God takes a while to take root. When I taught in the divinity school, we had people that were fresh out of college that came there, but we had one who had been a practicing lawyer for 20 years and decided God was calling him to ministry. Somebody else that was a school superintendent and retired and decided God was calling them. That God's call does not have an age expiration date. God's call can come to anybody at any time. And it doesn't matter how old we are. Because if God is calling, God will equip us to do whatever it is God is calling us to do. Yes, Abraham was 75. Yes, he was 86 when Ishmael was born to his maidservant, Hagar. Yes, he was 100 years old when Isaac was born. But after Sarah died, he actually remarries and has more sons, at least seven, according to Genesis chapter 24. Years would pass, generations would pass, and finally they received the land that was promised. The covenant, the contract, the promise that God made was fulfilled. Imagine what it would be like to recognize that God is calling you. That God may be having some special purpose for each and every one of us. And that God is beginning or has already started calling us to that particular purpose. We may have already fulfilled that purpose. But maybe there's something else God wants us to do. Maybe something else God wants us to be. There's a good reason Abraham is a man of faith. He not only trusted God, he trusted him for 25 years to see that finally be fulfilled. Could it be that we're called to a special destiny? Could it be that God wants to use us? And maybe we're not thinking, oh, I'm not doing all that many things. I don't know how many people's lives I touch. But for every life you touch, that person touches other lives, and that other person, other lives. Imagine being the Sunday school teacher and have a young boy in your class, and he turns out to be Billy Graham. And just think about teaching a Sunday school class, how many people you have impacted just by doing that. Never sell short little things that we do for God, because God is in the business of taking that which is inadequate, whether it's the feeding of the 5,000, and making it more than adequate. As a matter of fact, having bucketfuls left over. We may not have descendants as numerous as the stars, but we have the potential to impact others, and in turn, to impact beyond that. To do this, we have to recognize that God has a special purpose in life for us. None of us are so insignificant or so talentless that God does not have a special purpose for us. To recognize that and then have the courage to act on it. But the greatest blessing from watching and looking at this particular narrative is that Abraham, by fulfilling that his duty, by having that child, by trusting in God, we're here because of the faith of one man. He is our spiritual heritage. He is the one who would be of the lineage of Jesus Christ himself. His faithfulness led to generations of people who would know God, who would love God. And that covenant includes all nations will be blessed, not just his nation, but all nations be blessed because of his faithfulness. We are here today as Christians because of the faith of one man and the sacrifice of another man. Two men bring us to this place in this day. The faith of Abraham and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And you think one person can't make a difference. It's amazing what God can do when we think something's impossible. But if we simply place our trust in him, and as he leads us and he guides us, that we're willing to take that chance and be able to trust him. Because trusting is everything. And it's so hard in this world of ours today to trust. We want to be skeptical. But when it comes to God, we got to be like these little children down here and just trust and not to doubt and just say, if God says it, then I want to do it because I want to glorify God, because God loves me that much. And I want to thank God for that. Would you join me as we pray? Lord, as we come to you this day, we pray that we would be able to listen for your call. Maybe it's a large call, maybe to accept a call to ministry, maybe to accept a call to teach a Sunday school class, maybe it's just to accept a call to write cards to people who are shut in. Whatever it may be, Lord, place in our hearts something that we can do in service of you to be able to honor you so that we can have an impact with other people and that through that, others beyond that would be impacted. All because we listened to you and we trusted in you and then we chose to serve you as Abram served you. Lord, guide us to be faithful witnesses of the risen Lord Jesus Christ. And thank you for the faith of the one man who kept his word and trusted your word, and the one who became the living word of God, Jesus Christ. For he made salvation possible, and we thank you, and we offer our praise and our thanksgiving and offer ourselves in your service. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Would you stand as we sing hymn 447 for our invitation, Trust and Obey. Would you stand?
When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. Let us do His good will. He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but our toil He doth richly repay. Not a grief or a loss, not a frown or a cross, but is blessed if we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.